Live with JC. How you doing, Bishop?
I'm doing fantastic, brother. Doing fantastic. After the high from Friday night, how could we not be doing great?
Exactly. Right. Right. Pretty amazing what happened. Yeah, pretty amazing.
I was literally riding on cloud nine all weekend.
Yeah, I was with you, bro. I didn't go out the house yesterday. Like, I'm full.
Nor did I.
Let's talk about the movie, and we want to get all our friends' perspective. I think Marcus Muhammad's going to join the conversation, the mayor of Benn Harbor, Michigan, and we want to get all of our friends and family members' perspective on Judas and the Black Messiah. What have you been hearing, John?
The majority of what I've been hearing is that it was phenomenal, and a lot of people just did not know to what lengths the government would go to silence powerful Black men. Some people just didn't. I don't know. Some people just they didn't understand. But a lot of what else I've heard is that, wow, it seems so similar to the 21st century, the year 2020 and 2021 and 2019 and 18 and 17 and 16. And then I've heard very few comments from people whose fathers or others may have been there, and they're splitting hairs. Things like, oh, well, Fred didn't exactly say that, or so-and-so wasn't in that meeting, what have you. It's a movie based on true events, based on real life. Is the script exact? No, nor is any movie script exact. They do take some liberties. It's a part of filmmaking, but the gist of the story happened just as we believe it happened, and history shows us that it happened. But overall, I would say the majority of the comments that I've heard from people is that people are just blown away by the movie, blown away by Daniel Kaluuya's portrayal of Fred Hampton, blown away by Lakeith Stanfield's performance, and all the other people. It was a phenomenal film, in my opinion. I gave it a review. I often personally don't give film reviews because it is so subjective, but I gave a review because I wanted to encourage people to go see this movie. And so the majority of what I've heard has been that the film is phenomenal.
Wow. How can we give it reviews that makes a difference? I know you have these rotten eggs, and you have what, the
IMDb.
DV. How can we get registered on these places so we can give it reviews and other movies that we like?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know what the process is. To be honest with you, PA, I've never even bothered to. I would imagine it's probably registering with the Film Critics Association. There are probably a couple of film critic associations that people can register with, and there's probably some criteria based on being accepted into the Film Critics Association. I would imagine there's more than one Film Critics Association, but I think you become reputable just by subjectively reviewing the film. And that means not going into it with any preconceived notions, any preconceived anything, going into it and fairly, openly watching the movie and then writing a critique on the film. And I feel like I am subjective enough to where if the movie was horrible and it sucked, I'm the type of guy, as you know, PA, I'm sure, that would say I didn't care for the movie and hear the reasons why or what have you. So I believe in being honest when I am sharing something publicly. And my honest opinion is that it was a phenomenal movie. And I think that we have to utilize our influence, whatever, however small, however big it is. I think that if you know that people tend to believe what it is you say and believe that you're coming from a place of honesty, right, I think that they're more likely to give something that you say they should give a chance, I think they're more likely to give it a chance. And so one way that we can all do that is by sharing the film and our thoughts of the film with our social media followers and colleagues.
Right. John, is it, I think, I don't know if I said rotten eggs or rotten tomatoes. I know it's rotten tomatoes.
You said rotten eggs, but I knew exactly what you meant. And I didn't even catch that you said
rotten I thought about that.
I didn't even catch that you said rotten eggs until you just brought it up.
Oh my God, that's funny. We're going to bring Big Rob into the conversation. We're expecting Marcus Muhammad to join us too. Big Rob, what was your thoughts, man?
Oh, I loved the movie. You know, I truly loved it.
Wow. Okay. We got the mayor of Benton Harbor, Michigan, who went to college in Chicago, graduated from DePaul University, joined the Nation of Islam. If anybody know about the Black Panthers, the Honorable Marcus Muhammad knows about the Black Panther. I want to welcome him to the conversation. How you doing today, Mayor?
Blessed by the best. Always an honor and privilege to be with you and Big Rob, and most importantly, to speak to the people who Chairman Fred Hampton was all about, of Muskegon Heights, state of Michigan, Muskegon. I ain't gonna throw out the Big Red.
And we're also airing in Orlando. This segment is airing in Orlando, Florida, too, in Pine Hills. So,
well, I want to send a shout out to everybody in the Floridian territory. It's an honor to be here.
Exactly. All right. So did you see the movie?
I watched the movie last night with my wife and my children.
Okay.
And we had an opportunity to really attempt to capture in 2 hours and in a few minutes the life of Chairman Fred Hampton. But it was so many different things running through my head, Paul, because I like you said, I came up in Chicago. The brother who was going to be my sports agent when I was, possibly going to pursue a professional career, he was the one who introduced me to a documentary of Chairman Fred Hampton. Okay. And I can honestly say from that point on, my life was never the same.
Oh, wow. Wow. So what was your thoughts after seeing Judas and the Black Messiah?
Boy, I mean, I thought about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, where he had was speaking to the National African-American Leadership Summit. And he was saying how, you know, we're rising as a people, but he was reminding them how wicked and low down and evil that the enemies of our rise are. And he wanted to impress on the listeners that the depths of Satan you cannot fathom. And as we are applauding Vice President Harris, and of course we celebrated the first Black president and President Obama, and we see many, advances in some respects, but everybody is not happy. And like in the movie, when he asked one of the lead agents as it relates to his daughter, when he asked, what he thought about his daughter marrying a Black man, and back to Francis Cress Welsey, where it comes down to the power of the Black man and how if his power is not checked, then it is the demise and the fall of those who are in power.
Wow. And she definitely talked about that in her book, the ISIS Papers, that, that genetic can never rule out genetic annihilation, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's always. Go ahead, JC. I know you got some questions for the mayor.
No, I'm listening. I'm taking it all in. I'm absorbing. I'm a student.
We all are. You know, after last night, it just really sent me back to the drawing board, and You know, I think about Brother Robert, Student Minister Robert Muhammad in Grand Rapids, you know, found in the Muskegon Lake mysteriously. You know, Whitney Young, who died mysteriously swimming in Africa. You know, so it's just a pattern, you know, where, you know, our black men who stand up for justice either find themselves in prison. And as in the movie, FBI director Hoover, you know, when he found out that he was going to go back to prison, he said that was just a temporary solution. So even prison is not enough.
It's not enough. So, you know, Mayor, tell me this. How do you think the Nation of Islam has survived so long without, and definitely under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan leadership, that they have not met this kind of resistance from the federal government? Maybe they have tried to, infiltrate, but haven't been successful. No,
they tried.
Well, no, it's really a miracle. And it's really by divine protection and divine intervention that the Nation of Islam, number one, was rebuilt.
Yes.
Because if you study the FBI, you know, on their radar, when they started looking for a black messiah, it was Stokely Carmichael, Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Those were the four that they had the infrared on. And of course, Martin and Malcolm were assassinated at 39. And then they understood that the messiah is not to bring a political solution as such. So they were not so much threatened by Stokely Carmichael at that time. And they said that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was up in age. And if a move was made on him, then the entire country would erupt and go up in flames. So they were very wickedly wise. But they made a move later, but that's a whole nother topic. But the one that they did not see and calculate on was the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who I believe God hid and allowed for circumstances to take place to make it appear as if he was just going to fall away. And, you know, he had even went back into the world and grew his hair out and grew a beard, and the nation had fallen and went in another direction. So he was no threat. But when he began to rebuild the nation, and this is like a whole curriculum, because if you study from 1977 all the way to 2021 and what has been done and how this message has impacted not just black people, but the whole world, they'll be studying it from years to come. But it's by divine intervention. In fact, under George Bush administration in 2004, there was a dossier that came out that they had spent millions of dollars at that time to destroy the Nation of Islam. It has not been successful.
Wow. That is by his grace. Do you believe that the COINTEL program is still operating?
So, you know, like slavery, you know, it's become more sophisticated. Mm-hmm. It has changed forms. It has, you know, as they say, the KKK went from the white, you know, robe to the black robe, right? To the uniform, police uniform, you know. So it's become more institutionalized, and how they're doing it today, you know, it's on such a higher level, you know, than what we saw in the movie. But that still exists. You know, however, now, you know, it comes through our weaknesses. Now, we can be sincere, but if we're, you know, sincerely ignorant, then that's a bad combination. You know, and Satan can use our ignorance against our own selves. And then he comes through our gifts, you know, and our weaknesses, you know. So Tupac was, I mean, come on, man, brilliant.
Yes.
But there was a thug side.
Yeah.
That wasn't brought under check. and the enemy was allowed to use that. Same with Biggie, you know, and it also happens. Look, you know, Kwame, brilliant, you know, who, you know, they had him and President Obama side by side, you know, but there was a weakness in Kwame. Right. And it was used and manipulated, and you know, it took Donald Trump to commute his sentence of all people. You know what I'm saying? You know, but the minister said he was not going to spend 28 years in prison, and he got out. You know, and that's history. But now they're coming in different ways. You know, to where that's why that full armor of God. You know, they're coming after me. You know, as we speak. Yes, you know, as the only Muslim mayor, you know, in the nation, under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you have two or three other Muslim mayors nationwide. I think it's a sister in New Jersey. It's a brother in California. But in terms of that look like you and I.
Right.
You're looking at.
Wow.
And that's a major threat.
Mayor, then I'll let John and Rob ask a question. This movie was rated R. Do you think kids should see this movie?
My 7-year-old was watching it because, you know, like he said, if 20 years old, you know, if that's too young for you, you got to wait till you get old to be a revolutionary. You did already. You see what I'm saying? So if my daughter has to wait until she's 15, 16, 17, 18 before she, you know, is introduced to the wickedness of the enemy. In fact, Richard Nixon said, if we have to wait until they're 6, then we've already lost them, which is why he put millions of dollars behind the institution that we now call daycare.
Wow. What kind of questions did your 7-year-old have?
You know, she was just, you know, we haven't really unpacked it yet, you know, because, you know, I have to come behind it and now explain and give some context to what she saw. You know, my 16-year-old that's a junior in high school, she was watching it, you know, and they don't know that there's a relationship between Fred Hampton Jr. and their father. And, you know, not that I know him personally, but we shared the Diaz and Muskegon. Heights.
That's right.
And I had an opportunity to at least share with him the great impact that his father had on my life as one trying to get into the liberation movement for the salvation of the black man and woman.
Well, we know one lady said, Jennifer Ross said, I watched it first, but we'll sit and watch it with my boys too. They need to know about this. I'm with you, sis. I am with you.
Yes.
I'm going to get my grandkids over. I went on and subscribed to HBO Max, John.
Well, you know, I did as well. But, you know, the other thing is, you know, somebody made the point that it was more emphasis placed on the rat.
Yes.
And I'm just quote unquote.
Yes.
Than it was on Chairman Fred.
Yes, sir.
You know, but in all of it, you know, it starts a conversation.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And, you know, it gives us an opportunity to look at the Black Panther Party, look at its context, look at the things they were trying to do, and also study history. You know, which is, it qualifies the researcher and rewards the researcher. So it's a big study for us, I think, all. I would have liked to see more of the political aspect of Chairman Fred, you know, but of course you can only put so much in a 2-hour movie.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of hard. And it fed us a little bit, and we got to do our own research too.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Yeah. That's right, Big Paul.
Y'all got anything else for the mayor?
Mayor, what did you think about the ending of the movie? How they told the stories that they weren't able to tell in the movie?
I didn't get a chance to see. You mean with the interviews after, or are you talking about the ending of the actual movie?
The statements after the movie, what happened with Judas, the brother.
O'Neal.
Right.
Yeah. Right. What happened with him as soon as he got done with that interview, they said the next day he committed suicide.
The day it aired
that night
on PBS.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when they say that we committed suicide, you know, it's always red flags and up in the air, you know.
It was reported that he ran in front of a bunch of cars on the 405, whatever big freeway it is in Chicago, that he ran in front of a bunch of cars and was killed on the highway, and that he tried to jump out of the window earlier that day.
Right. Well, you never know, you know, what was going on behind the scenes, you know. And working for the Final Call newspaper, I learned that a cover story, you know, only covers the real story.
Right.
So, you know, which goes on the front page. So,
right.
But be it as it may, that was what the you know, autopsy and what was said, but you know, it just goes to show, you know, that all of those who have worked for our enemies, from Saddam Hussein to General Noriega to the brother who was in that, you know, the ending is not good, right. You know, so that's just something to study, you know, right. For us as a people, you know, that the end game. For those who want to be informants and stool pigeons and work for the enemy, you know, it's as Judas who went out and hung himself. So, you know, I was more, you know, in meeting Chairman Fred Jr. And seeing how that whole experience impacted his life. You know, when they showed the officer put the gun to her stomach, you know what I'm saying, and you know how, you know what was going in, you know, him dropping whatever he put in his drink, you know. So for those who are watching, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told me, he said, son, keep your guard up, you know. And he told me, he said, it's not the punch or the blow that you see that'll take you out, it's the one that you don't see. Wow. But if you always got your hands up,
yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? And you prepared, you know, and of course, you know, striving to seek the protection of God, then hopefully, you know, we can escape the wiles and the darts and arrows of Satan. So I'm going to watch it again. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And you know what, Student Minister Marcus, you kind of, you know, was a little humble on what you said about spending time with Chairman Fred. You had did what you was going to do. You and him had talked at the park. I think you came here to the radio station with me and Paul and Chairman Fred for about 4 or 5 hours, and you still had a 2-hour drive to make back home.
And we got to acknowledge. We got to acknowledge who made this happen. Nate Unk. She the one who brought Chairman Fred to Muskegon. Yeah. Brought him to the radio station for her event, and it kind of brought y'all together. And right. Shout out to Nae Unk. I think she's in the South now. I'm going to say big ups to DJ Ron, the hottest DJ, one of the hottest DJs in Orlando, 98.5. He said, I watched it. Great movie, but Judas was Judas. Hoover worked for the Klan. And he also said the Black Panther Party was us organized without money being the power. But people being the power. That's right. That's right, DJ Ron. Jennifer Ross said, well, chew, it took me through so many emotions. And
hey, PA.
Yeah.
That's child.
Oh, child. I'm tired, John.
Right, right. If I can just say, one of my favorite parts of the movie was when they had gave Chairman Fred that envelope. And they was trying to get him to go overseas.
Yeah.
And he asked them the question, is this about Fred Hampton or is this about the people? And he gave the money back. You know what I'm saying? And went to go do what he had to do. So that right there, that's why, man, I love him to the grave, man. I also have to do, and I was inspired by that. You know, I gave up NBA. I gave up any thought on trying to, pursue a professional career because I wanted to join the revolution. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't know that it was going to lead me to this point, you know, or in a political direction, you know, but I was captured by Fred, you know, and to meet his son. And, you know, I just wanted to let him know how much his father meant to me and means to me and to the future of Black people.
Right. Thanks for joining us today. Go ahead, Rob.
Student Minister Marcus was telling me a story about when he was 20 years old. You mind sharing that with our listeners, sir?
Right. So I was 20 years old and I was pursuing, you know, I was a star ball player at DePaul, and it was an agent that was recruiting me. And he had, you know, I came over to the house, and I can say this now, NCAA can't take no eligibility. And, you know, we were, you know, just kind of chilling out and everything. And he just popped his documentary and he said, check that out. And it was Chairman Fred, you know, and when he said that if you're 20 years old and you got to wait till you get older to join the revolution, then you dead already. You know what I'm saying? And I said, man, you know, I'm 20 years old. That brother talking like that, you know what? I'm in. You know what I'm saying? And from that point on, I went and found the Nation of Islam and went in that direction. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying to all, you know, join an organization like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said. You know, if you want to join the nation, join. You want to join. But whatever you join, be all in and fight for our people.
There you go. Nayunk said, Brother Muhammad, you spoke so powerfully that day. The whole day was so inspiring with lots of education for us. And it was, definitely was. You got a shout out coming in from Ms. Walls. Shout out to the hometown Benton Harbor hero. Definitely been enjoying your live videos from Detroit. And I think she was working at the Super Bowl, too. I think our beautiful sister was working down in Tampa for the Super Bowl. VIP.
I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. And also, Nayunk acknowledged Carol Fife, I think that's how you pronounce the name, and her king, along with Lisa, that made that connection for Chairman Fred to be here. All right, brothers, gotta wrap it up. Thank you so much, the Honorable Marcus Muhammad. It's always good to get you on.
I love y'all. God bless.
Love you too, brother. Take care, man. All right. JC, thank you. Big Rob, thank you.
Yes, sir. PA, thank you.
Ebony, I need to hook up. Give me the plug, Ebony. All right, fam. Peace and blessings.